Welcome to Willard Church of the Nazarene. We're glad you're here. We can't wait to share the service with you.
I worship you. Acts, Acts chapter 1. Next week, we're going to be taking in new members. I'm excited about that. It's always an exciting time. These are people that are saying, hey, we consider this our church, and we want to be a part of it and the mission that it's on. So we're committing to that, right? We're going to support it. We're going to pray for it. We're going to represent it to this world that is around us. So every time, though, before we take in new members, I always do a class to let people know what we stand for. What is the Church of the Nazarene? When I first started attending the Church of the Nazarene, I'm like, is this a cult? You know, what is? I've never heard of a Nazarene church. And so we just speak into that, and we tell you what we're about during that class. And I tell you what, this last class was awesome, especially today, probably one of the best discussions that I've ever had. But when I go through that class, I always talk about our core values. We are a Christian people. We put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone to save us. That is what we are depending on, right? There's nothing good in me. I have nothing to give but a hallelujah, right? And so we join all the other Christian churches today in proclaiming the name of Jesus Christ. Number two, we are holiness people. We believe that there is a call to a mature life. We believe there is a call to ask Jesus to be our Savior and Lord, and then there is a call to pick up our cross, to die to ourselves and follow Him. And we're called to pick up that cross every day, right? To live for Him. So we're a holiness people. And then the third thing is we are a missional people. And when you hear that, we're a missional people, I think the tendency is to think that we send out missionaries. And that is definitely a part of them. We send out missionaries, we support them, right? We are in 165 different areas of the world. We have nearly 600 missionaries that we support as the Church of the Nazarene. But that's just a part of it. That's just a part of what it means to be missional. You see, we believe that we all are a sent people responding to the call of Christ and empowered by the Holy Spirit to go. We, as in all of us in here that have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, we believe we are called to go. We're sent. We're empowered by the Holy Spirit. That's what we stand for, right? I don't know if we all get that, though. I've got a video that I want to show you. If you could dim the lights when you show it, let me set this up, this video, too. All right. There is a woman who's trapped in a car in some flooded waters, and there's a meteorologist or a news person that's kind of on the side of the road, and you'll see the interaction that we have, or they have.
We've got this this lady drove into the area that's flooded out, and she's screaming right now. I just called 911. Fire department is coming in, but she drove right into the flood waters. This is the Peachtree Creek, and it is rising at the moment. We got you. 911, they're coming. You're good. You're good. Oh, man, it's a situation. We will get back to you in a little bit. I'm going to go see if I can help this lady out a little bit more, you guys. I'll be back. Yeah.
All right, Bob.
And then
Bob.
There is Bob carrying her out. So for our viewers, Bob was doing a live shot for Fox and Friends. That's who he was talking to while he was hearing that lady scream in the background. He had already called EMS. He had already called 911. And then this is video of Bob pulling her out. Bob is over 6 feet tall. He's like 6'4". And you can see that the water is up to his chest, and he has her on.
We've got this.
That video sums up a shift that needs to happen in our church. We need a shift. We need a shift in the life of every believer. Here's a lady trapped in a car, right, crying out for help. The person hears, and do you remember his first response, what it was? We got you. 911, right, we've called you. Help is on the way. You're good. That's his first response. But then what happens? He listens to her cries, right? And he's like, oh, man, we need that moment, that oh, man, right? You know what? I'm going to see what I can do. I'm going to go try and help her. That needs to be us as followers of Christ. Too many times we're in here and we're thinking we're missional because we support missions. We send people out. We give some money towards it. But we're here. We're in those places. We hear those cries. And we're the ones that are called to go. We need that in this church. We need to all embrace that, right? There can be two churches. Church over here is one that you come to. It looks nice. It's got good music. It's got some good sermons that, you know, tickle our ears, right? It's got comfortable chairs. It's got people who look like me. You can give money and you can send it away to help people, right? You invite people to it so that we can get more people in here, so that we can get more money in here, so we can build something bigger and nicer and have more things, right? And you only have to come to this church once a week. Maybe twice if you get really serious. And then there's this other church over here that shifted from this, from just sending people out to actually going out themselves. In that church, they get trained and they come in here and they get patched up and they go out there looking for people that need saved, looking for people that need helped, right? Their ears are attentive to it. It tugs at their heart. And they realize, man, I'm here. I'm going to go try. That's what it is, right? I'm going to go try and help them out. And they commit to this, not one day a week, not 2 days a week, but every day of the week, right? It's uncomfortable in that church. It's scary, right? It's dirty. You got to get in the water. You got to deal with people coming in and making messes and getting patched up. But when that shift happens, that's when we are the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? I want to be a part of that second church. I want to call us to be a part of that second church, right? Jesus' mission, Luke 19:10, is this: for the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. That's his mission. Jesus didn't come to be served, but to serve, right? And if we bear his name, if we call ourselves followers of Jesus Christ, then that better be our mission as well. To seek and save the lost. You cannot seek the lost very well if you're only doing it for an hour twice a week in this building. There's not a lot of lost people that come in here. Some, sure. But that happens out there. And that happens every day of the week. Church was very boring to me. I know there are people in here where it's very boring to you today. And the only reason you're here is because somebody made you come, somebody dragged you here. Maybe you're one of the teens and you got this thing that you are doing today, right? And that's the only reason that you're here. Church was very boring until that shift happened in my life, right? Until I realized, you know what? I'm out there. I'm going to try and help somebody. I'm going to get in that water. It was the moment that I realized I wasn't called to go to church, but I was called to be a part of the church, a member of that body, right? And we are sent in the name of Jesus Christ out into a dark and dying world, right? It's the moment I realized I was called to that, where church became relevant, where church became something else than just that boring place that I'd go to and listen to that long-winded pastor, right? When that When that shift happens for you and you become a part of the team, you're going to get to experience things that you've never got to experience. Could you imagine getting to experience somebody getting saved somebody getting set free from some kind of bondage, right? If you experience that, I guarantee you, church will never be boring for you again. Uncomfortable? Yes. Hard? Yes. Frustrating? Yes. Boring? No way. No way, right? Acts 1, verses 4 through 8. Would you stand in honor of God's word? We are a church that honors God's word above everything. And that's why we stand for it. Acts 1, 4 through 8. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Then they gathered around him and asked, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." This is God's word. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. We just want to pause 1 minute and ask you, would you soften our hearts? Would you open our eyes and our ears so that we can receive your word? Lord, we want to be transformed by it. Lord, and we give you all honor and praise. Father, we pray for every other church that's preaching the name of Jesus Christ today. Would you light them on fire spiritually? Would you take them deeper than they've ever been before? And would you send them out into this world with the message of the good news? Lord, would you do that for us? Would you help a shift to happen in each and every one of our lives? Lord, would you help us to see that we are bearers of your name and we are called to the mission that you started on this earth, Lord? Father, remind us there is no other plan in place but only the one that you have. Father, help us to be a part of it. Help us to be a part of building your kingdom. May we throw our crowns down at your feet like we sang about, Lord, and offer you everything. May you be glorified. May you speak to us through the rest of this message, Lord. Nobody wants to hear somebody behind this pulpit. We want to hear from you, Lord. Let your word be proclaimed. We just ask this in the name above all names, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 You can be seated. Verse 8. What if we really believed that verse? What if there was really a shift that happened and we lived that verse out, each and every one of us? Our town, our communities that are represented here today would be turned upside down. I guarantee you it. What if we weren't just a place to come and to sing music and hear a message and then go back to our normal lives? What if we are the ones that were sent out and we would receive power and have opportunities to be his witness? What if? Seeing yourself as a missionary, looking to seek to save the lost, changes everything. I told the class today I will never go on vacation again. Never. That's my vow. I didn't talk this over with Adavi. So for the last 20 plus years, I have gone on vacation with my in-laws through with the family to North Carolina. I will never go on vacation there again. You see, a shift started happening a few years ago. When I went, I started to pray, "Lord, would you just give me a random meeting with somebody out there and steer that conversation towards you so that I can tell them about you?" The problem with that is I'm an introvert, and I don't really like talking to strangers especially. But I purposely started to have conversations. I think the family even thought that was a little, noticed that and thought that was a little weird that I was doing that because they know me, right? I wish I could tell you that I have an amazing story where I got to lead somebody to Christ, but that did not happen. But a shift happened. And I no longer see myself as going on vacation. I realize that no matter where I'm at, right, that is potentially a mission field. So I'll go to North Carolina, that mission field. And that's how I'll think about it. Yeah, I'm going to rest. Yeah, I'm going to have times of that. I'm going to have extra time to spend in God's word, right, and spend with family, and that's going to be great. But I'm going to look for opportunities every day in every place to share the good news and pray that God does that with every conversation, right? Quit going on vacation. Go on a missions trip to Hawaii, right? Do that. As a pastor, I might even be able to write that off. Church thing, yeah, there we go, right? Seriously, they'll never go off mission. You never go off mission, right? That's what we do. We come to this building, we focus in on God, right? And we sing his praises, and then we hear a message, and then we just go back to our normal life, don't we? Maybe Wednesday we're coming back, or some small group we're coming back, but we're done with church during the week. A shift needs to happen, and we need to realize we are the church, and we're always on mission to seek and save the world, the lost. Grocery shopping can be a missions trip, can it? Unless you're getting it delivered. But if you go there, Walmart seems like a great place for a missions trip. Seems like lots of opportunities there. Your workplace, your neighborhood, your school is a missions field, right? To be very serious, young people that are in the schools, you go to a mission field where kids are cutting themselves. Kids are desperate, desperate for hope. You go to a missions field where kids commit suicide. I can't go there. But you can. Right? That's your missions field. That's what God has entrusted to you. If you will let a shift happen, you can take the church there. You can take the power of God to your place, right? You could bring your testimony to there of what God has done in your life. Lives could be radically changed. Church boring? Not if you're a missionary. Not if you're in the mission field, right? Only if you won't shift will church be boring. Pray for eyes to see. Pray when you talk to your friends, right? And they're like, this is a hard season for me. Tell them you've had those seasons, right? Tell them what Christ did for you during those times. Maybe you can tell them how you leaned on God then. Maybe you can tell them that he was a rock that you cling to during that tough time. And then you can ask them this. Do you know him? Do you really know him, right? This is our call. These are our mission fields. And there is an enemy that's going to try and distract you from them. He's going to do whatever it takes, right, to do that. He's going to try and distract you from building the kingdom of God. One of the main ways he does that is he just puts us in this place where all we do is focus in on ourselves. We focus in on building our own kingdoms, right? Verse 6, then they gathered around him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? People follow Jesus for all sorts of different reasons, some to see the miracles, some to experience his power, right? Some to hear some interesting teaching that they had never heard from before, right? Many of his disciples, though, were following him because they were hoping that he would restore the nation of Israel. He would restore their kingdom. Their nation had been conquered. And they were living under the authority of Rome, paying taxes to Rome. They didn't have their freedom, so they were focused in on hoping that Jesus would be to the key to them getting Israel, their nation, restored. But then Jesus dies. And all of their thoughts, all of their plans, all of their hopes die with them, right? And they're like, what just happened? We're following this person of amazing power. We thought that this was going to happen, but he dies. But we know he rose from the grave. And guess what they go back to? Lord, are you now going to restore Israel? They're still focused on their kingdom instead of the kingdom of God, which is what Jesus talked about, which is what Jesus was preaching, right? 2,000 years later, guess what we're focused in on? Our kingdoms. I'll come and give God an hour, but when that's done, I'm back to my kingdom. I'm back to doing that, right? No, my friends, there is a mission when we leave this place. We are entering the mission field when we leave this place. There is a job to do. There is a job he's sending us. Verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Power, what is that power that he's talking about right there? Right? What does it do? It comes from the Holy Spirit. We see that. But what is it? The Greek word for power there is dunamis. It's where we get the English word dynamite. It's explosive strength. This is the power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the power that made you into a new creation. This is the power brought by the Holy Spirit. And if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, right, this is now available to you, to the church. Friends, if you are in Christ, it's there. The question then becomes, have you experienced it? Are you experiencing it? If your honest answer this morning is not really, I'm not experiencing that explosive power that raised Jesus from the dead, then we have to ask ourselves, why? Right? In that verse, there seems to be a tie going on with missions. We read the book of Acts, don't we? And it's filled with examples of that explosive power, the power of God, left and right in there. And it's also filled with people that are on mission, isn't it? Are we on mission? If we're not, why would we expect that power, right? Are we stepping out on faith? If we're not, why do we expect God to be faithful? I know this from personal experience. There have been times in my life where I focused in on my kingdom, doing my thing, and ignoring what God was calling me to do, right? There is no power there. I can testify to that. I can tell you that. There is no power but your own strength in those places. I can also tell you that when I've followed his leading, his call, when I've been on mission, there are crazy things that happen. God ordained things that he sets in motion, things that he does, right? Times that I've seen the power of God. The power is in this church because we are God's temple, and the Spirit dwells in our midst. 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in your midst, right? There's a power there, but we have to be on mission. Galatians 5:25, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Jesus said, follow me, right? Did the people who didn't follow him get to experience his power? Did the people who went the opposite way get to experience that? No, right? They missed out on it. Should we be surprised that when Jesus calls to us to this direction to go and we say no and we head in the exact opposite direction towards our kingdom? Should we be surprised that we're not experiencing his power? Should we be surprised when the church doesn't have that power? Why would it? Why would it if we're not following him? The people that did follow him got to see his power. church in Acts, right? That was on mission, got to see jail doors opened and people set free, right? The people on Acts were testifying to what Jesus had done, and they saw thousands get saved. Thousands. So simple question, am I in step with the Holy Spirit? Am I on mission? Well, how do I know the direction? The Word of God gives you that direction, right? That's why we challenge you to be in it. That's why we challenge you to open it up the first thing in the morning so that you have that direction for that day, so that you have that foundation to live that day off of, right? It tells you how to live this life. It usually tells you to go in the opposite direction that you normally would want to go. That's why you have to look at it first, right? Because if you wait to the end of the day, your day's over. You already went in your direction. But if you open it up first and it is that path, it'll tell you to go in a different direction that you would probably normally want to go. Matthew 5:44, right? But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Nobody goes in that direction on their own. Nobody wants to go in that direction. I don't, at least. But what if we did go in that direction? Because the Word of God directed us that way. I don't think I could, James. What if God's power was there? Yeah, you could, right? Holy Spirit prompts us with the way to go. Go talk to that person about me. That's what he tells me. Share the good news with your friend. We don't because we're scared, though. In that moment, we step out of God's will and we miss seeing the power of God. What if we embrace the uncomfortableness? What if we were willing to look like a freak? We just stepped out on faith. What if? I have experienced that exact prompting by the Holy Spirit. I have responded in different ways. I have said no to that because I was scared, and I've headed off in a different direction. And do you know what I felt after I did that? Regret. Ton of regret. I've heard that prompting, and I have said yes, and I've followed, and I've shared that good news with people, my friends. Right? I remember when I shared it with my best friend and he rejected it. And I shared it again with him later on and he rejected it. Do you know how I didn't feel about that? You know what I didn't feel? Any regret. That was okay. I shared it. I did what God called me to do, and there was a peace with that. My friend, right before he died, gave his life to Christ. Right? I have had that prompting, and I've shared the good news, and they have accepted that, right? And I've seen God save that person. I've seen that person start a relationship with him, and I can tell you that is the most amazing thing you will ever see God do. But we got to follow the prompting of the Holy Spirit, because if we don't, we will not experience that. Will not happen. If church is boring, if you want to experience the power of God, right, follow the Holy Spirit's leading. I guarantee you, you will not be bored. Amen. Step out on faith. Jump in the water. I know you want to. I know you do. But if you're like me, I know you're also scared. Jesus prayed for his disciples, and he told them, right, the spirit's willing, but the flesh is weak, Matthew 26:41. Do you know about Paul? Do you know about the great apostle Paul, the guy who led people to Christ all over the world, the guy that started all those churches, the guy who wrote a lot of the New Testament? He was amazing, right? An amazing person. He must have been an amazing speaker. Listen to this, 1 Corinthians 2:1-5. And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom, as I proclaim to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Oh, you ready for this? I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, Paul, also filled with fear and trembling, says his words weren't eloquent, not wise, not persuasive. Isn't this every one of us? Isn't that why we don't follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and talk to people that he prompts us to? We were talking about that this morning. I don't know the words to say. I can't disprove evolution, you know, with what I know, and I don't know that much about the Bible. His words weren't that amazing. But there was one thing about him, right? They were a testimony about God, and the power of God was in them. If I had to choose between great message or Spirit's power, I'm going Spirit's power any day, every day. That is my major prayer before I get up here. We all want God to give us strength and power in the words before, but if he did that, we wouldn't need him when we went. If we had it all nailed down, we would not need God. We could just operate out of our own strength. And my friends, that's the point, right? We need to stay dependent on him always and trust him. Being a pastor is all about being asked to do scary stuff. But that keeps us dependent and desperate for God. I wish I could tell you that Paul was just starting out in that, and that's why he was that way when he went to Corinth, but that's in his second missionary journey. He'd already been doing it a while, right? And he's still feeling it that way. I still feel that fear, right? But if you're dependent on him, you can step forward in that. Almost every time, I've told you this many times, anybody says yes and steps out in faith to lead a ministry, right? They come up to me and they tell me how scared they are, how worried they are, and I'm always like, that's perfect. That is the perfect place to be, because you will be desperate for him to lead you. You will be dependent on him and his power, and you'll stay real close to him. Do you struggle with something? How many of you struggle with something? Struggle to lay something down? If you were to say yes to God and live by faith, right, and be in this process where you are totally dependent and desperate for God to be with you, do you think you'd touch that thing that you struggle with? Ain't no way. No way, because you'd be desperate for him, and you know that that thing would separate you from him. Right, I got freed from stuff because I was desperate for God's presence and for him to be with me. And I knew if I touched that thing, right, then I wouldn't have his presence there. His power wouldn't be there. I'd be stuck on my own strength, and I was going to crash and burn in those times. If you aren't depending on him, if you aren't dependent on him, it is a lot easier to sin. Step out on faith. To whatever he's calling you. Step out into the hard, right? And embrace him. If you don't need him, if you can do what you want, right? You won't experience his power there. That's when church is irrelevant. That's when churches close the doors, right? That's when churches, people don't want to go there. But it doesn't have to be. When God leads you, step out in faith, jump in the water, right? You don't have to have all the arguments down. You don't have to be able to do all that, know every Bible verse, right? You just have to testify to what God has done in your life. That's what you're called to testify to. That's what you're called to give a witness to, right? I stepped out on faith when God called me to give some money, and my income immediately was cut in half. And I was like, that's not the way it's supposed to work, Lord, right? I was like Gideon, who had thousands of people going against hundreds of thousands of people, and God takes them down to 300. Are you sure you know what you're doing here, Lord? He knew exactly what he was doing. He made it so Gideon would have to depend 100% on God to get through that, and that's what he does with you when you step out in faith. Man, he'll take it all away so that the only thing that remains is him. God paid every bill. God allowed me to keep what I promised to him, and then he blessed me double after it. When you step out in faith, right, that is when you experience the impossible, the power of God. And now that's a part of my testimony that I can tell other people, right? I can share that with them. I can share that God still heals miraculously, right? I had an Amish buggy, and the kid was life-flighted, and miraculously, he was released from the hospital that next day. And when I called that hospital, that nurse told me, we don't know what happened, but he just turned, and we're letting him go today. I can also tell people that God doesn't always heal, though, but he's faithful. He's with us in those situations. His grace is sufficient in those places where he doesn't heal. I can testify in those storms, right? In those places that he can give you a peace that goes beyond all understanding. I can tell you those things because there were times that he called me to step out in faith, and I said yes during those, and I experienced the power of God. I can always also tell you about a bunch of regrets I have. You know what the greatest miracle I've ever experienced, I've ever witnessed? There was this guy, he was a wretch, right? He was a jerk, he was selfish, he was not good. He only thought of himself, you know that type. He betrayed people. He failed people. He was a liar. He was in bondage. And God took that guy and set him free and forgave all his sins. He saved him. He pulled him up out of that pit, right, he was in, and he gave him a new heart, a heart bent in a different direction, right? He even adopted this guy as a son. That guy's me, right? And that's my testimony. That's what I can witness, tell about what God did for me. I can tell that to that person who feels like they're a horrible person, right? I can tell them that they are headed towards destruction, but there is a God who loved them and provided a way for them so that they could be saved, so they could be set free, right? So that they could become a child of God and have a relationship with him. And all they have to do is put their trust in him and ask him to save them. I can tell him he can make you into a new person. He can give you a new name. You have that same testimony, don't you? You've experienced the power of God in that respect, right? When he made you into a new person. Look for somebody to share it with. Who have you told about that? Will you tell people what he's done? James, I would, but I'm in a bad place right now. Well, you know what? I've been in bad places too. And I've repented and turned back to him. And he's welcomed me with open arms. I've been a prodigal, and he's been waiting for me to come back. And he embraced me. And he'll embrace you too. I can tell people that, right? Because I've experienced that. Have you? Have you experienced his mercy? Have you experienced his grace, right? Then testify to it. Tell somebody about it because somebody needs to hear it. Somebody feels like garbage today. Somebody that you know, right? God always brings people who need to hear your exact testimony into your path. It's just funny. It's like he's God and just works that out. Man, look for it. Pray for it. Seek it. Hear for the person that's crying, right? That's crying out, help. And don't be like, help's on the way. We'll send somebody. I'll call my pastor. He can come talk to you. You're there. Go. Right? And just take it, the attitude that that guy had. I'm going to try. I'm just going to try. I'm going to leave it up to God what happens. Right? A shift needs to happen, my friends. We have to be a sent people, responding to the call of Christ, responding to the leading of the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And we have to go. We can't be like, just come in here. Just come to this group. We're top heavy in this church. We got a lot of groups that say, come on in here. But we don't have a lot that go. Shift your group, ministry leaders. Shift your group outwards. Go, right? Take those people with you. You young people that are graduating, you aren't going into the workforce. You aren't going into college. You're going to a new mission field. That's where you're going. Can I challenge you all to let that shift happen? We don't just send support, right, and money to missionaries. We don't just pray for them. We are missionaries, and we all, if we know Christ, have a mission field. You have an apartment that you live in, don't you? Mission field. You have a job, mission field. You have a neighborhood, mission field, right? Will you put up a note at your job with those two words, mission field, so that you remember, right? Put it in your car, mission field, put headed to mission field. Locker room, dorm room, mission field. Put it next to your computer, mission field, right? It will change how you see in that place. We're talking about social media, right? I bet you'd act a lot differently if you saw that place as a mission field. Live like a missionary. Be a person that prays for people. Become known for that at your workplace, at your apartment building, right? When somebody shares that they have cancer at work, can I pray for you? Right? And write a note about that. Pray for them right there. Write a note down and revisit that and ask them how they're doing. How are they handling it? Right? And share your testimony, what God's done when you've handled things like that. Share what he's done and then ask him, do you know him? Do you have a relationship with him? You represent Christ. You bear his name. Do not bear his name in vain. Can I help you in any way? I have a boring job at work. My other job, this one isn't. But it's not boring when I see it as a mission field. You got a boring job? Turn it into your mission field, man. Look for opportunities. I guarantee you it won't be boring. I guarantee you, you won't be depressed to go there or not want to go there. It can be something that's exciting, right? People come into my office from the city, and I get to meet all sorts of new people. Lord, steer that conversation. Lord, do something, right? Give me an opportunity to share with them. Ask your coworkers, man, how is life treating you? How is life treating you? Not so good. Man, that's an open door, right? That's a window for God to move in. You got to start that, though. What if social media was your mission field? We just went to a conference about that, a seminar about that. You probably wouldn't post some of the things you post on social media if that was your mission field, right? Some of the ugly things, some of the inappropriate things. What if you went on social media and testified about your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? You know what? I know a lot about your political stances. Does anybody know who Christ is to you? Do they? Do you use it to witness to people? Would you ever get on there and say, hey, I'm getting ready to go into prayer. If you've got a prayer request, would you leave that for me and I'll pray for you? Would you go live with that? Hey, just starting some of my prayer time. If you need a prayer request, man, put it in there. Would you ever go to church and hear a message, right, that just touches you? And would you ever go on social media and be like, man, I was in church and I heard this and God just punched me in the face, right? And this is what I'm challenged with. Or I'm in the Word of God today. I was reading it this morning and God just challenged me with this, right? Or God shared this truth with me and I just want to pass it on to you. What if our social media was flooded with that instead of all the other stuff? Do people at your work even know that you're a follower of Christ? Do they even know that they can come to you with prayer? That they can seek you out for help? Right? Opportunities. Opportunities to be missionaries. Opportunities for a mission field. Right? I don't say a lot of stuff that I want to say on social media. Because I know it would take away my ability to speak into some people's lives. It's time for a shift to happen. It's time to stop saying help is coming and to say, here I am, Lord, send me. Amen? Stand with me. You're going to leave this place. It's almost over. And God's going to come to you, and he's going to prompt you, and he's going to have something for you to step out on faith with, and you're going to have a choice. Either you're going to, or you're not. And I'm going to tell you, either you're going to experience the power of God, or you're not. I'm going to tell you, you're either going to get a testimony, or you're not. Follow the call. Know that everybody in here, including myself, is scared when that call comes. Moses, the great Moses, right? I'm going to send you to Pharaoh. Oh, no, you're not, right? I'm a stutterer. I can't talk. Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? I'm just a shepherd, right? Have you ever thought those thoughts? God said, who made your mouth? Go, and I'll go with you. Will you just embrace it? Would you just embrace that you're going to be scared, that you're going to flail, you're going to flop, that people are going to reject you, that people are going to make fun of you, that you're going to be seen as a freak for some people? Would you embrace all of that for that one opportunity to see Christ save somebody, to see Christ set somebody free? It won't happen if we're quiet. Maybe you're in here today and you haven't accepted Christ. Can I give you that opportunity? Maybe you're realizing, man, that I am a wretch like that guy up there. There is nothing good in me. But I'm hearing that this Jesus Christ died on a cross for me and saved me. And that if I put my faith and trust in him, I can be set free. Will you do that? It's simple. You just ask him. Remember the thief on the cross? Man, simplest prayer ever. Jesus, remember me. Will you just cry out to save me? And then would you do something? Would you testify to somebody about that? Would you tell somebody maybe that's in here that you made that decision today? Would you put it on your social media? Can we go to social media, right, and be the church? Men on there an hour and a half a day, women on there 2 hours a day at least, the majority of people, that's a mission field. If you're on there, man, that's a mission field. Will you get bold? Will you step out on faith? Will you tell people what God's doing in there? Will you testify to that? Would you not worry about what you're going to say and how you're going to explain it and defend yourself? Just tell people what God is doing. When you're at work, when you're at school, man, God's just really talking to me about this. Right? Start those conversations and let the Holy Spirit lead. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for today. Lord, I know we all have a desire to serve you. I know we all want to, but I also know that we are all scared. I know I'm scared, Lord, but would you help us to just lean on you, to depend on you, to be desperate for you, Lord? And would you go with us? Would you make a way? Would you give us the words? Would you give us the opportunity at a gas station, at a grocery store, Lord? I know there's a gentleman in here that has a sign on his house that says, "Ask me about Jesus." Lord, let us all have that banner. Let us all have that attitude at our workplaces. Lord, ask me. Let us be seen as people. Let us represent you well, Lord. Lord, would you shift this church? Would you shift me? And would you help me to realize that there is a mission field out there, Lord? Call me to it. Father, we love you and we give you all praise. In your name we pray. Amen.